Amen. Life-giving. How many of you know what gives you life? Well, I'm glad you're here tonight. We're going to talk about that. Three people had their hand up. I was at the hospital going to see a fellow, and I got there and I wanted to pray with him. And I got up to him real close to the bed. And just for a minute, he was making some kind of motions. I didn't know what was going on. Next thing I know, it's a red line, flat line. I know what a red line is. It's a flat line. It's a boo. And he's trying to tell me something, and he's going like this. So I get out a pen and piece of paper, and he's scribbling something down fast, and he hands it to me. Of course, the doctors and nurses come in. I just fold it and put it in my pocket. The guy's gone. And I go home that afternoon. I'm telling my wife, she goes, "What did the note say?" I was like, "I don't know." And I opened it and said, "You're standing on my oxygen line. Right now, you don't know whether to laugh because you're like, that's a true story. That's awful. It's not a true story." Aren't you glad? Wasn't it funny, though? I mean, wasn't it funny? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'll be here every night this week. Okay. Life-giving. That we are all hooked to a source that is life-giving. Every one of us. All of us are. John writes so eloquently, maybe one of the most important chapters in the Bible, John 15. And he's clear about where life comes from. He says this, Jesus says this, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful." Now, this imagery is rich because we'd always known of Israel, right? And Israel was always using this kind of analogy, this metaphor of the vine and the branches. So this was familiar to them. It was familiar because it was an agricultural society. And so they understood the vine and the branches. And Jesus is speaking about the vine and the branches and how that relates to them and their relationship to him. And he says, "I am the true vine." You see, it's the vine that brings life to the branches. It's the vine that brings life to the branches. And he says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener." You see, because there's work to be done. How many of you ever have planted anything? All right, not many, so never mind about that. But anyway, when you you don't just kind of sit and just leave it. I mean, it takes work. I don't know. We have assassinated 40 to 50 plants at our house. You know, when we go buy a plant, well, you do have a plant that doesn't need to be watered or have any attention, may not need sunlight. Is there any such plant? We've killed everything. We've had 3 Venus flytraps because, you know, the boys like the Venus flytraps, you know, and we can't keep them alive long enough to see them eat a fly. You know, it's like set them in the sunlight, but not too long. So we set them in the sunlight, and then we remember 3 days later, they're in the sunlight. And they're just kind of all scorched and burn up. You see, because whatever the life-giving source is, there's also work to be done. But I got good news for you. Jesus is the true vine, and his Father is the gardener. So Jesus brings life to you and to me, and his Father does the work that needs to be done in our lives. Amen? How many of you need a little cutting around the edges and all that kind of stuff? Most of you. Looks like the people that were sitting over here a few weeks ago now are over here. It's like they're like, "Man, I'm sitting with the holy people." So y'all just need to sit. We just need to designate sections, don't we? For the holy. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit." Now, what does that mean? Because I've heard what 1,000 people have to say about that. Now, see, if you're a Christian, you can lose your salvation, because the Bible says right there, any branch in him that's not bearing fruit gets cut off. That's not what he's saying. You know what he's saying? Remember, there's several analogies given. There's the wheat and the what among the sheep? Wolves, very good. I know I didn't say that right, but somehow you knew what I was talking about, right? There's the wolves, wolves, the wolves, and the sheep. There's the wheat and the tares are straw. Is that what you said? Straw? Okay, I'm sorry. And there's all these analogies. And all of them have the same point. There are those who are the true followers of Jesus. And then there are the, what's a good, Jeff, what's a good slang word when you're acting like something that you're not? What? A poser. That's it. See, I'm hip with the young people. And then there are posers. There are those who are not true followers of Jesus. And can I help you in case you don't know? A bunch of them go to church. And they're the ones at church that have all the rules. Have you seen those people? They got all the rules because it's really not about the cross to them. Because if it's about the cross, there's nothing else that I can do. But if it's about the rules, and so I've served in all these churches. I think I said it just a few weeks ago. I served in all these churches where I'm the youth pastor and these kids are all smoking out in the parking lot. And there's a deacon in the parking lot that has the gall to say, why are all these kids smoking? So I guess they're following by example. They're just not fat yet. And that was my last Wednesday at that church. But anyway, you know. So there are the true followers of Jesus. And so this is what Jesus is referring to. There are posers. There are those who are acting like that they're part of all of that, but they're not. And guess what's going to happen to them? They are going to be cut away. They're not going to be able to remain. This is very interesting. Because what seems to be the requirement to be able to stay with the vine? Come on now, so be interactive. Talk to me. Have I not read it yet? What? If you bear fruit, you get to stay. And you know what some people say about that? Well, that's why we got to work hard. But he goes on to say that you cannot bear fruit by yourself. You can't do that by yourself. Let's read it. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so it'll be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. And so my remaining in him doesn't mean that I got to work real hard to bear fruit, because I can't bear fruit on my own. I cannot do that. Later on, he's going to say, apart from me, you can do. Apart from me. Yes, you're exactly. Now I'm going to throw you out with another wrong answer. Miss Helen, can you take her? Yeah, here we go. Cat fight. Wednesday night worship. I'm teasing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Man, if there's one thing I wish we'd get into our heads tonight, it's that. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And some of us are trying so hard to do something without him, and you can't. You can't. Now listen, I want you to hear this, because I think for a lot of us, we grew up always hearing, you got to do these 9 things, these 10 things. You can't do these 150 things. And they were the fun items in the bunch anyway over here, right? I remember running through my church. I'm a little kid. And one of the rules at our church was you don't run in church. It's not that I'm opposed to the rule. It's the reasoning for the rule that I had issues with. You see, at our church, you couldn't run into church because it was God's house. And I didn't know if God had bad legs. I didn't know what the issue. God had a problem with running. I've told you this before. He also had a problem with hats. I remember being in the sanctuary at my church when I was a youth pastor, and I had my hat on in the sanctuary because I was running in to ask pastor a question. Who do you think you are? Take that hat. No, I'm kidding. Just teasing. And so I run in there to say something, and this lady, and I don't know, the church was founded in the early 1800s, and she was a charter member, but because I'll never forget her making her way to me. She's like, Pastor Jamie, and it took her like 15 minutes. Just taking all he said. She goes, I think a man wearing a hat in the house of God is the most offensive thing I can think of. And I thought, she has a small imagination, but because we used to kind of try to kiss on the girls in the house of God. I guess that'd been worse, but anyhow, so I had my hat on, and I was young at the time, and you know what comes with youth. Immaturity. stupidity, whatever you call it. I just know if my father had been there, they'd have had to drag me out of the church that night. Because I said to her, I said, ma'am, and I took my hat off. Y'all remember my hair looked like about a month ago? I was like 5'11 with it. You remember that? That's what it was looking like. And it was just, I said, ma'am, I think God's more offended by this. You know, and that's just, we grow up with those rules. So I'm running in the house of God, praying that God's not really offended, that that's just some man-made rule. And I'm running as fast as I can. We're playing hide and seek. And so I'm running up the steps and I'm headed to the food pantry. It was the best place ever to hide because while you're hiding, you get like a 5-piece meal. You know, it's a good deal. And you know, I'm not offended by a good meal. And so I'm in the food pantry. But here's the deal. Somebody was hot on my tail, man. And I'm just running as fast as I can. I get the food pantry and I slam the door. And then I'm holding it with everything I got, which was about 90 pounds at the time. That's hard for you to believe. That's like this leg now. But anyway, I'm holding the door. And I don't know who's opening it. But my feet leave the ground holding on to the doorknob. And this hand reaches for my throat. And it was so weird. Because I thought it was a kid chasing me, but he had the same tattoo on his hand as my dad. And I thought, that's really weird. And we had all those rules. We had all those rules, and we were working really hard to please this God that, you know, we really didn't think could ever be pleased anyway. Because there was stuff I was guilty of that wasn't even on the list. And I thought, well, that just means I'm on the hell train and there's no getting off. You know what I'm saying? I knew the thoughts I had. I mean, at our church, we couldn't swim together as boys and girls in our youth group. And I lived 5 minutes from the beach water park right across the interstate from Kings Island. And they wouldn't let us go as a youth group swimming together. And I, being one of the ornery kids, asked, well, why not? And they said, well, Brother Jamie, which, you know, I'm sure there was no relation there, but anyway, that was weird. And they said, Brother Jamie, if you boys see them girls in their bathing suits, you could lust. And I thought, I got news for you. You can put them in a snowsuit. And it ain't going to help me. Let's go swimming. You know, I mean, that's kind of what I was thinking. So, you know, so you kind of, some of us have grown up like that. And it's not that I wasn't at a church that didn't believe in grace, but sometimes it was surrounded by people who wouldn't live in grace. Because here's what I know. I can do nothing without Him. I can do nothing. I cannot bear any fruit on my own. I can't. I cannot do that. And Jesus wants them to know. He says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. And church, that is good news tonight. Because He's still working on you and He's still working on me. Remember the little song? He's still working on me to make me what I want to be. It took Him just a week to make all the stuff. You remember that? Remember the song? He's still working on me. This isn't a finished product, thank God. Right? But He's doing that work. Because He is the gardener. I talked to a good friend of ours from another church. And when she had written an email. And it was like 10 paragraphs long. And just about how she's struggling. And she listed all the things that she was struggling with, you know, in her marriage. You're struggling to be a good mom, struggling to, you know, be the kind of servant at church. You know, all these things she's struggling with. And I didn't respond to her email. I just called her. And she started to share those things. I said, but here's what you're missing. Here's what you're missing. Because her fear was, there's no way I could be a Christian and struggle with all these things. There's no way I could be a Christian and treat my husband the way I do. There's no way. She said, there's no way that I could be a Christian and talk to my children the way that I do. And I told her, you need to live with me for 1 week and come to our house. And maybe you'll doubt my salvation. You know, she goes, you don't understand. I've thrown stuff at my husband. I said, I've been hit with stuff. And I'd have hit her, but she's fast, you know. It's like, bam, she's gone. It's like Spider Woman, you know. And we are going to struggle. But I told her, I said, can I tell you why I do believe you're a Christian? She goes, oh, please tell me. I said, I think you're a Christian because you want to be a better wife. And you want to be a better mother. And these things that you feel like you've done that are wrong, it's God who has opened your eyes up to those things. And why would God show you that if you don't belong to Him? Why would He do that? He wouldn't. But it's in the middle of those struggles. Why? Because God is the gardener of your life. And so somebody will come and they'll say, man, I've got this issue. And I've never heard Pastor Steve preach about it. I've never heard you preach about it. But I just kind of feel like it's not right. What do you think? I said, then I'd stop. Because I think that's the Lord talking to you. The Lord is faithful. He is the gardener of your life. He's not going to allow there to be things in your life that are wrong without showing them to you. And guess what? And God's, the expected response from God is not guilt. Oh, I'm horrible. It's not about you. But I can't do this. No, you can't. But God is the gardener. And it's with His strength. In your weakness, His strength is... That wasn't what I thought of when I thought about saying that. This was supposed to be the climax of the whole night. This moment right here. In your weakness, His strength is...
It's really good.
It's awesome. Okay. It's perfect. In your weakness... Dramatic pause. His strength... There you go. Thank you. That was good. Listen, isn't it interesting that the Bible doesn't say in your strength, His strength is perfect? Doesn't say that. You know why? Because your strength is like nothing to Him. Nothing. Remember, I was in high school. I was dating this little girl, and we were at the county fair. Anybody ever go to the county fair? Yeah. Okay. So you know about the county fair, right? The funnel cakes, that's the only reason I ever went. I'd like 10 of those to go. Do you have milk? Never mind, that's okay. And we get to that thing where you take the hammer and hit the thing and try to make the bell ring. So like, you know, I've got on my football jersey. So, and your number's on it, so everybody knows, oh, that's the guy that sits on the bench. But anyway, I had the jersey, that's what counted, and we're at the county fair. And she's like, oh, win me a teddy bear at the thing. I'm like, no problem. You get two shots at it. I'm like, then I slip and hit it. And it's like, whoop. I told the guy, I said, man, it's all slippery here. I can't get any footing. You know, I'm like, I'm the guy at the county fair who's like sweating at the thing and mad. Okay. Do you have a dollar? No? Okay. Can I come back tomorrow? You know. And when we're done, this little kid gets up there. He's probably 10 years old. He's like, bing! In your weakness, His strength is perfect. Perfect. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener, and He cuts off every branch of me that bears no fruit. And so there are people just hanging out, and there are people that don't have a relationship with Jesus, and they're just there. And if you end life without a relationship with Jesus, you will be cut off. Does everybody understand that? And that means cut off from any hope. You will not have any hope. And that's why here at Hillview Heights Church, we always talk about the cross and the resurrection. Because I don't think it's that most people don't believe in Jesus. I don't think that's most people's issue. Most people's issue is they've done so many horrible things. How could Jesus ever really love them? How could Jesus ever really love them? But in your weakness, His strength is perfect. Perfect. I want you to be encouraged. Because He goes on to say this. While every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes. Everybody know what pruning is? I'm not quite sure myself. I'll take a stab at it. You know, basically, you know, after the plant has bloomed or something like that. Am I tracking? And the blooms are gone. You kind of got to cut back and prune a little bit. And you do that so there'll be even more growth, more fruit the next time. Did you hear that? Or are you just thinking about plants? Some of you right now, you told, that's what the problem is. I got to get home and cut that plant. No, listen to me. Listen, let me say it again. And so there's places where there has been bloom, and the bloom's gone. The gardener, you're laughing at me, aren't you? Right here in front of my face. You could at least go home and talk about me. It's okay. I'm just giving you a hard time. Leave. Now listen. I had a Mountain Dew, honestly, right before church. That is the issue. That's the problem. I want you to hear that again. So those places in your life where there has been bloom. Honey, you got to let me get through this. This is a good part. And there's no longer bloom. It gets cut. So that there will be more growth. So that there will be more fruit. And so I want you to know, sometimes, and we've kind of been on a theme talking about this, sometimes those difficult things in our lives, they are a result of the gardener pruning us. Because every time he prunes us, we come out a little bit more like Jesus. And sometimes those times are hard. Isn't that right, buddy? Isn't that right? And some of you, that's where you're at right here in this moment. I want to encourage you. It says, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Jesus is speaking a powerful word about the disciples' life. But listen, it's a true word. This is a true word, and this is the truth of this word. He's saying, remain in me. He's given that kind of order, isn't he? That command, remain in me. He's given another command, bear fruit. And that can be very intimidating unless you really hear what Jesus said. You can't remain in me unless I remain in you. You cannot bear fruit by yourself. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You can only bear fruit with me. Now, am I tracking here? I mean, do you hear this incredible truth? He's saying, remain in me. And I'm thinking, but it's so hard. I mean, it's so hard. I get caught up in the things of the world. How many of you get caught up in the things of the world? I always remember hearing that phrase all my life growing up, stay away from the things of the world. And I never knew what it meant. We go to McDonald's. I'm like, is this a thing of the world? Should we stay away from the Happy Meal? You know, apparently I should have. but anyway. Man, I like the things of the world. How many of you like them? The rest of you need to get out more often. I like the things of the world. How am I going to remain in Him? Well, if it's up to me, I won't. Everybody hear that? If it's up to me, I won't. But you see, I can remain in Him only that He remains in me. So it is ultimately His work that I can even remain. And I can't bear fruit. I've tried. I've tried to bear fruit. I cannot do it. Apart from Him, you can do nothing. And so all the fruit, or any of the fruit that's in my life, is because of Him. And it's like this. It's like that God, I'm going to try to bring it just really super practical, and I may miss, Jeff, correct me if I'm wrong here, okay? Jeff Reynolds is here. Isn't that impressive? I think he heard I was preaching heresy, and he's just here to check it out. It's almost like that God hands me a piece of fruit. Right? God gives it to me. And now I have it. And then God says, I want you to bear fruit and give it to me. And I'm like, I happen to have some fruit. It's what He gave me. You see, I can only have that fruit. I can only be obedient to that God would allow me to be fruitful. Does everybody understand that? I mean, this is an incredible thing. It is so hopeful for the disciples' life that as I follow Jesus, everything he expects of me, he will help me to attain. He will do that. He will do that work in me and through me. He will do that. Now listen, I'm telling you this because if you leave here and say, yeah, but I can't, that's already been established. All right, that's no revelation to anybody that's sitting here tonight. You can't. So don't say it anymore. Because Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. So if you're saying I can't, you're focusing on the wrong thing. Your focus has to be on Him. That has to be your focus. God is the gardener. He's going to show you those things in your life. And then He's going to give you the wisdom and the strength to overcome those things if you will be faithful. And that means simply this. I thought that Grant and Jenny and Jory gave us a great picture of how do we do this. It's very simple. By being obedient. By being obedient. I have rarely met the person who didn't know really what they needed to do. One, the knowledge comes from God. And they knew what to do. God had showed them that. And now, what is on us is our obedience. It's our obedience to Him. You see, He's the life-giving source. He is. We do not have life without Him. He's the life-giving source. And so now, I'm obedient. And sometimes obedience is hard. But I remember what the Bible says. That obedience is better than sacrifice. I like the sacrifice part. That's what I like. The obedience is hard, but I like the sacrifice. You know what I'm talking about? So be interactive. Do you know what I'm talking about? I'll explain it. There you go. I'll explain it. I mean, here's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that, man, I just really blow it over here. I just did everything that I wanted to do. So then I'd rather come over here and just make a sacrifice. Like I was going to watch Flavor of Love, but now I'm not. Right? Why is everybody looking at me so mean? Was that a bad example? My joke, I digress, right? So I was going to do something, but now I'm not, God. For 3 days, God, I'm not going to eat. Now, you all know for me, that's a sacrifice. But the Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. So when you're here, Jesus is saying, just do what I say. Just follow me. Just follow me. That is the issue. I mean, this is what it comes down to, following Him, being obedient to Him. And I want you to hear what I'm saying, because I do come over here in these moments and I do try to make up. And I try to make up some time. Maybe I didn't read the Bible all week, so on Saturday I'm going to read the entire book of Hezekiah, right? And there is no book of Hezekiah, but I'm going to read it anyway. And I'm going to do that because I'm going to try to make it up. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. And that means this, He's going to do the work that must be done in your life. He's going to do it. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. Amen? That was a great place for people to go nuts and wild and applause, and you're still not. But that's okay. He who began a good work in you, He is going to be faithful. I want you to understand that. He's going to complete the work that He has begun in you. So I want to encourage you. Some of you, like my friend, you're really struggling. You're really at a place where you just wonder if you're even a Christian. But these things bother you. These things have been revealed to you. And I encourage you tonight, we're going to have a time of altar, and I want to encourage you to come to this altar. We like the altar here at Hillview, and I'll tell you why. Because it's not that this is a magical place and God can only do something here that He can't do at your seat. Obviously, that would go against the entire nature of God. But one of the things I like about the altar is, I think for most of us, it takes a lot to get out of your seat, come down here to the altar, You know, and sometimes we're at the altar and, you know, you wonder what everybody's thinking about you, what horrible sin is in your life, you know, like we don't already know, right? Take something to get out of your seat and to come to the altar. And I want to encourage you, if you've struggled with some of these things, I want to encourage you to come to the altar tonight. He is the true vine. He's the life-giving source. God is the gardener. He's going to keep doing that work in your life. He's going to keep doing that work in your life. If some of you are struggling, you say, I don't even know what to say. I just come to the altar and say, God, continue to do a work in my life. Continue to show me so that I'll follow you with more obedience and more faithfulness. And I want to say this. If you're not bearing fruit, then you have to ask yourself why. And the question and the answer from the Bible tonight is very simple. Without Him, you will bear no fruit. And my prayer, if you're here tonight and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, is you would invite Christ to come into your life. Ask Him to forgive you of your sin. And the Bible says He's faithful and just, and He will forgive you, and He will save you. And if that's a decision you need to make tonight, Pastor David's here, I'm here, Pastor Jeff's here, we'd love to pray with you. We'd love to talk to you about that. Maybe some of you are super inspired by Grant and Corey, Jory and Jenny. And if you were and you've not been baptized, I want you to know it's important. Why? Why is it important? Because Jesus says to do it. And the Bible teaches us that baptism is after your conversion. That's when you get baptized and make that public profession of faith. He will complete the work that He's begun in you. He will complete it. And nobody will stop Him. He'll complete that work in your life. Lord, we love You. We thank You, Father, for who You are. We thank You, Lord, that You're doing that work in our lives. I pray for those that are discouraged, Father, encourage their hearts. I pray for those that are hopeless, Lord, be hope to them. I pray for those who are struggling with obedience, God, and You just continue to reveal Yourself to them. Mostly, Father, we thank You that You are the true vine. You're the life-giving source. So continue to do that work in our lives. We love You, Lord. In Your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. The altar is open. You come.